Greetings to you on this day and time. We are diving into chapter 23 of My Soul Waits, a book we've been covering on solace for the lonely in the Psalms. And the theme of this chapter is help us to resist temptation. And it's from Psalm 141. I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds, along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of the evildoers. So Marva writes, the struggle against being lonely is itself compounded by, and in turn complicates, the problems of resisting temptations. Just think about temptations that you face. The temptations that seem to come from the outside in, that invade your life, that maybe you have succumbed to. Choices that you've made that have not been in your best interest, your loved one's best interest, the world or the community's best interest. Can you name your temptations? The things that you have to work hard to resist. As you think about that, we know that in Ephesians chapter 6, there's this list of armor that we are to put on to defend ourselves against all powers of evil. What if we named a temptation an evil? Something that we thought about is destroying us or does not have our best interest in mind. Would we be able to resist then? Again, Ephesians 6, what is the armor that we put on to defend ourselves against the power of evil? Well, prayer is greatly emphasized as the most essential tool for the fight, as it is also here in Psalm 141. Both the beginning and the end of the psalm section that we are going to discuss here focuses on prayer as the greatest weapon. Have you thought about prayer as an actual weapon? I prefer the word tool, a tool that you can use in helping you to overcome. Well, another major emphasis in this psalm, which is indirectly stressed in Ephesians in the New Testament, especially in 1 Thessalonians 5, is the support and rebuke of fellow believers, meaning having people in your life, in your community, that hold you to account. That seeks to strengthen you as you deal with and resist those temptations. This psalm is great in that it reminds us of Holden Evening Prayer, a liturgy that so many people have come to love. That song, "Let my prayer rise up like incense before you, a lifting up of my hands as an offering to you." Again, a position of prayer, a position of worship, a plea for that relationship with God, that God would hear us and join us in our affliction or our distress. We ask in the psalm that our prayers would be set before God. And the Hebrew word translated here, set, comes from the root meaning to fix or to establish. So this is to fix or establish them with God. So imagine with me the strong fragrance of sweet incense, its smoke slowly curling upward as you say prayer, as words are being offered. It's a powerful image. Again, that those prayers won't be contained, they won't be boxed up, but they will be set free. And that God would be the one who gathers them in from the gathering of the people. We want the lifting up of our hands and praise to come to God as a sign of worship, as a sign of praise, as a sign of relationship, as a tool against whatever our temptation would be. Now, all of these prayers that the psalmist is pointing to, they want this prayer to be righteous. So he says, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." It's in a way of saying, we don't want anything to violate our prayer life. We don't want anything to be just flippant or coming from wrong motives, to trivialize something, to reduce it down. Now, I know we live in a time where people have taken a word against prayer, and they've said, don't just say you'll pray for me. That's not enough. And I would say you're right. There's always more. But I would still say that prayer is essential. Prayer is something that all can do, that all can offer up to God and to each other as a sign of blessing and hope. When the psalmist talks about this guard over his mouth and guarding the door of his lips, he doesn't want evil to get in the way. The real problem in temptation is not only, you see, that it causes us to sin, but it works at times to break down our relationship with God. And so the poet asks that his heart not even be drawn in the direction of that which is evil, because to move in that course is to go away from the Lord. And as we know, this word heart in this psalm, again, points to that place of the will or the seat of emotion. The psalmist is saying, I don't want my heart, my desires or intentions to be drawn into wickedness or into immoral practices. I want to stay connected. I want to stay rooted in the place of God. God's action in helping us to fight against the temptation, the challenge in the center of our life. Now, when the poet asks that he not be drawn to what is evil, the expression used is usually forceful in the original text because it employs a rare Hebrew verb, which is to be drawn. And then the noun immediately following it comes from the same root in order to emphasize doubly how much the deeds are evil. The verb comes from a root that means to practice or to busy oneself, to divert oneself from it. And so there's this word here of, again, are you drawn in? Is it pulling you away? Is it creating more of that desire to participate in that which is not good? And that's why we could then point, perhaps that is evil. It's set apart from God. So this wicked deed that he points to, it denotes even violence or crime, really overt acts of evil, where it's not just a hidden temptation, but that temptation jumps out of us and causes harm to others. The poet wants to avoid getting involved in those kinds of deeds and wants to stay away from those kinds of falsehoods or those kinds of injury to anyone around him. So there's a battle against evil. And we are thoroughly equipped to fight sin when we remember that that sin, that temptation, is never ultimately satisfying. It might seem like it, but in its addictive nature, if it's pulling us away from God and from full and certain health, then it's not good. And so David is writing, speaking to the hearts of the people around him, but also just confessing his own, that he doesn't want to participate in that way with that thing that seeks to destroy. And so to be in community, to be in a place of support where there's voices or people to help us, that is a gift. He talks here about a righteous person. And if it's a righteous person that's correcting you, somebody who has your best interest in mind, somebody who really loves you, somebody who's accompanying you on the journey, then that rebuke is good. In a way, it may test you, it may challenge you, it may strain your relationship, but a righteous person rebuking you, again, is meant to be blessing. But that comes from being in community and having those people in your life and not allowing those temptations to simply be hidden from others. Again, take some time to name those temptations, those things that are stumbling blocks, those things that are not blessings or good in your life, and offer them up to God. Let them rise up to God, knowing that God is with you in the struggle and that God seeks to release you from that place. The psalm here speaks about keeping our eyes fixed on the Lord. When the wicked one or when the temptation comes, when there's a trap that's set before us. I think that's a powerful reminder to lift up our eyes, maybe to look away from the screen, to walk away from that thing that is injuring us, and to lift up our eyes and to lift up our hearts and to keep them fixed on the Lord. Because God indeed does desire the best for us. And God desires that there would be healing and goodness, not just for ourselves as we resist temptation, but to everyone and for everyone around us. And so questions for further meditation on this day. Number one, how does the dramatic action of lifting up your hands help you to focus on the inner attitudes of your relationship with the Lord? How does just that body posture of eyes up, hands open, lifted up, show that inner attitude of relationship with the Lord? Number two, what is the reason that the state of your heart is so important? Number three, to what kinds of practices by evil things are you drawn to? What sorts of temptations afflict you, especially when you feel lonely? Number four, how does your loneliness increase your susceptibility to temptation? Number five, am I able to receive the rebuke of other brothers and sisters in our life, people in the faith community? And why or why not? And is it easy for you to admonish somebody else lovingly in resisting their temptations? And if not, why do you struggle with that? And the last question is, what is the state of your prayer life? And in what ways might you deepen it in order to be able to fight temptation more effectively? Again, spend time in prayer and discernment and in conversation with God. Until next time, be safe and be well. Bye-bye.